Ethan Allen and other Revolutionary War heroes claimed that they were the ones who won the victories that Benedict Arnold actually won. They claimed his victories for themselves. And because of that, George Washington lost favor with Benedict Arnold and vice versa. And five people were promoted that were of lower rank than Benedict Arnold before he became a traitor. Either one of these things, either he wanted the money or he was jealous because of the people around him and what was going on, either one of them could be the reason why the greatest traitor in history did what he did. One of the 12, Judas. Why would Judas betray Jesus? Jesus had treated him like an equal from day one. No different than any of the other guys. In 1983, a 31-page manuscript was discovered called the Gospel of Judas. The Gospel of Judas is not accepted as being part of the Bible by either the Protestant Church or the Catholic Church. In fact, one of the heads of the Catholic Church said it would be like one of you guys sitting down to write an eyewitness account of the Civil War and having the world accept it as truth. None of us were here. It was written about 500 years after Jesus. This, though, shows why it's important to know the Bible. And I only point out the Gospel of Judas because you may hear about this and you may wonder, and especially young kids, as you go away to college, there will be professors who will do anything to put down your Christian faith. And one of the things they will do is they'll pull out books like this and they'll say, see, here's the Gospel of Judas and here's the other Gospels, and they don't line up. See, in the Gospel of Judas has Jesus saying to Judas that you're going to be elevated above all the other disciples because you're the one that brought about the salvation of the world by turning in the Son of God. That's what it says in the Gospel of Judas. However, I mean, it's reasonable, right? It's reasonable to think about that if Judas wouldn't have turned Jesus in, Jesus would have never gone to the cross. So it is reasonable to assume that. So if you're listening to your professor or somebody and they're telling you these stories, you think, yeah, that makes sense. That could well be. If Judas didn't turn Jesus over, there'd be no sacrifice for sins. But here's why you need to know what the Bible says, guys. Matthew 26, 24 and Mark 14, 21. Thank you, Zach, by the way. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, to the cross. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born. Now we have the Gospel of Judas having Jesus tell Judas that you're going to be elevated above all the other disciples. And we have Matthew and Mark saying it'd be better for you if you'd have never been born. Now listen, they can't both be true. They're diametrically opposed. Diametrically means completely opposite views. So they can't both be true. So we're just going to go ahead and go with the guys that actually walked with Jesus, Matthew and Mark, instead of some unknown person who wrote the other gospel. So who was Judas, and how did he happened to become one of the 12. Did Jesus make a mistake in choosing Judas? And a more important question, did God choose Judas to be born just to betray the Lord? These are important questions. You have to know this because how you answer those questions determines how you see Jesus and how you see God. Okay? Either God is cruel and picks people out for damnation, or Jesus isn't omniscient. Omniscient means knows everything. And if he's not omniscient, he can't be God. First, we need to know that Judas was prophesied. Mike and I were talking about this the other day, and Judas was prophesied. Peter tells us in Acts chapter 1, 15 to 17, in those days Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was in all about 120. By the way, the Bible calls believers who are true believers brothers. And said, brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in the ministry. Now, the point of this is not to show that it was prophesied. We'll get that in a second. The point is to show that he was numbered among them, that's the other disciples, and was allotted his share in the ministry. In other words, he was not treated any differently than the other 11 disciples. They were all equal in Jesus' eyes, and they were all equal in each other's eyes. Okay, there's nothing to separate Judas from the other 12. They had to be 12 disciples, by the way, so when Judas hung himself, they had to pick somebody else to take his place. They chose Matthias. So that brings us back to the two questions. Did Jesus know that Judas would betray him? Or did God make Judas just to betray him? Jesus makes an interesting statement in John 13:10. Jesus said to him, he's talking to Peter here, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean," talking to Peter, "but not all of you." This takes place right after the Last Supper, and Jesus has taken off his robe and he's got down and he's washing the disciples' feet. And Peter says, "You're not going to wash my feet, Lord. That's way below you." And Jesus says, "Well, if I don't wash your feet, then you can't be one of my followers." And Peter says, "And not just my feet, wash my whole body." And this is when Jesus says, "You guys are already clean, but not all of you." He knows Judas is going to betray him. The next verse, John 13:11. "For he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason," he said, "not all of you are clean." The point in these verses is to show that all that happened with Judas was prophesied, and Jesus is just fulfilling the prophecies. It was no accident that Jesus chose one who would betray him. Psalm 41:9, by the way, is the prophecy. "Even my close friend, someone I trusted, who shared my bread, has turned against me." That's a prophecy concerning Judas. Now, you need to know at this point, Judas has not yet gone off to betray Jesus, as all these things are being said. John 13:18 and 19. Jesus talking, "I am not saying these things to all of you. I know the ones I have chosen. But this fulfills the scripture that says, 'The one who eats my food has turned against me.' I am telling you this now before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he." Jesus is telling these guys, "Look, this is one of the evidences that I am who I tell you I am. I'm going to tell you exactly what's going to take place now. And then when it takes place later, you're going to remember back here that, oh yeah, Jesus told us this was going to happen. It's going to be one of the evidences that Jesus is the Christ." That tells us right here, that's why Jesus is telling them, so that you'll remember this. Now, people can say, reasonably, that, well, Jesus was just a close observer of Judas, and he observed the things Judas was doing, and Judas sneaking out in the late hours, and he carefully observed Jesus, or Judas, and so he reasoned that Judas at some point was going to turn against him. That's reasonable. John 6:64, though, doesn't allow for that. "But there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew," when? "From the beginning, who it was, who they were who did not believe, and who it was that would betray him." Jesus knew when he chose Judas that Judas was going to betray him. He didn't just figure it out at the Last Supper. It didn't hit him all at once. Back to the Last Supper, though, we get the first inkling, though, that Jesus is getting distraught, and Jesus is getting anxious, and Jesus is starting to dread the things that are about to happen. He just said, "I know who's going to betray me." And then, John 13:21, when Jesus has said this, he became troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you that one of you will betray me." This is the first sign of anguish on Jesus' part about what he's going to face. At that point, all the disciples began questioning their motives. "Is it me? James, you think it could be me? Hey, you guys think it's Peter? Maybe it's Peter." And they began questioning among themselves, who's the one that's going to betray Jesus? And here's the thing to notice, though. None of them pointed to Judas and said, "Hey, we know it's you, Judas." Because by all outward appearances, Judas was just like everybody else. He was part of the group. He belonged to Christ, just like they all did, by appearances. All this was to show that Jesus knew beforehand, Jesus knew who would betray him. So that leads us to the chilling question, did God choose Judas? Did God make Judas betray Jesus? The short answer is no. God's not like that. I went over this with a few people this week, got some feedback. And this is the best, closest I could come to explaining this to you guys, okay? So picture taking an algebra test. You've studied and studied and studied for the algebra test. So the day comes and you get the test, it gets passed down to you, and you look at it, and you look at question number one, and you know the answer. But listen, knowing the answer doesn't make you choose the answer. You still have to choose to write it down correctly or incorrectly. Okay, just because you know the answer, nobody forces you to put the right answer in that spot. You can hand in your test to Mrs. Liggett back here with the wrong answers on it, and you can say, oh man, but you know what, I really knew the answer to that. And she's not going to change your grade and give you an A because you knew it. Okay, knowing it doesn't change. You still had to do something. Okay, it's the same thing with Jesus. So picture Jesus being asked the question, who will betray you? Judas was the answer. He knew that Judas was the answer, but he didn't make Judas be the answer. Judas still could have chosen course A or course B. Course A, to accept Jesus. Course B, to betray Jesus. He chose on his own to betray Jesus. He knew that, God knew that, but he didn't force Judas's hand. He just knew beforehand that that's what Judas was going to do. He had to know that. If he didn't know that, he's not God. God is omniscient, knows everything. And if he didn't know that Judas would be the one to betray Jesus, he wouldn't be God. So he had to know that. But he still had a choice to make. God didn't force Judas to choose to betray Jesus. He just knew that he would. But we're asking the wrong question anyway. The question isn't, how could Judas betray Jesus? The question is, could I betray Jesus? The easy answer, of course, is no way, not me. Not a chance. So let's look at the evidence. Let's begin with the already aforementioned, the 12 disciples questioning among themselves, maybe I'm the one that's going to betray Jesus. Is it me? Is it me? These are the guys who walked with Jesus and taught with Jesus, was sent out to cast out demons by Jesus. They've been with Jesus for 3 years, and they're questioning among themselves, could I be the one that turns Jesus in? Well, listen, this is important because the Bible says, examine yourselves every day to see if you really belong to Jesus or not. That's scripture. That's what it says. Look at Peter. No, Lord. There's no way I'm going to betray you. No way. Everybody else in this room might betray you, but not me. Listen, before the sun rose the next time, Peter is crying like a baby because he's denied that he was a follower of Jesus 3 times. They're in the garden. The Roman soldiers are there to arrest Jesus. His disciples are there with him, but the heat got turned up. See, it's easy for us to sit here, a nice, comfortable church, and say, yep, I'm a follower of Jesus among ourselves. The heat got turned up. Mark 14:50 simply says this, and they all left him and fled. It's easy to be a Christian when we're sitting in our comfortable churches. Not so much when we're faced with outside pressures and mockings and situations. These men have seen the miracles. They've seen dead people walk out of graves. They've seen blind people receiving their sight back. They've seen demons cower at the feet of Jesus. And when push came to shove, they ran away like the cowards they are. But, listen, we have an advantage that the 12 didn't have. I'll point out, as I said before, that I don't believe any of the disciples were saved at this point. They just didn't get it. That doesn't come till later. See, our advantage is Jesus has died and risen, and so now when we accept Christ, we can receive the Holy Spirit, who allows us to, in the face of trials and in the face of pressure and in the face of things, to stand up and say, yes, I'm a follower of Jesus. But they didn't have that. so we have an advantage over them. Evidence of that's overwhelming, guys, but here's one evidence, okay, that they weren't saved yet, okay? A saved person cannot be possessed by Satan. But Judas was. John 13:27, when Judas had eaten the bread, Satan entered into him. Then Jesus told him, hurry and do what you're going to do. This is demonic possession, satanic possession. But it didn't just happen. Okay, listen, the question isn't why did Jesus choose Judas? The question is why did Satan choose Jesus or choose Judas? We know why he chose Jesus. Why did Satan choose Judas? After all, Satan is not all-knowing like Jesus is. He's not omniscient. So there had to be something that Satan saw in Judas that made Judas a target of the devil. Judas is believed, here's some of the reasons why Judas may have turned on Jesus, okay? Judas is believed to be the only disciple out of the 12 that wasn't from the Galilean region. All the others were Galileans, and so Judas was an outsider to the group. He may have felt like an outcast. He may have felt inferior. He may have felt like he didn't belong with this group. He may have convinced himself that he really wasn't one of the gang. This might have been going on through his head. However, there is no evidence in Scripture that this is the case. He was never put down by any of the other disciples. He was treated the same as all the others, not just by Jesus, but by the other 12, by the other 11. He's never shown to be disliked by the other disciples. I'm going to take away a couple excuses from you guys. I'm going to give you two lists. See if you could tell me what these two lists have in common. You're going to wonder what this has to do with Judas, but I'm going to show you. List number one, Eileen Wuornos. Anybody know who that is? Most prolific female serial killer in history. Edmund Kemper, 6'9", 250 pounds, has one of the highest IQs ever registered among humans. Serial killer. Donald Gaskins, South America's most prolific serial killer, killed over 100 people. Albert DeSalvo, the Boston Strangler. Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker. John Wayne Gacy, the Killer Clown. That's list number one. Here's list number two. Drew Barrymore, rated one of the top 100 actresses ever in Hollywood. Oprah Winfrey. Christina Aguilera, rated one of the top 8 vocalists of all time. Bill Clinton, former president. Tyler Perry, one of Hollywood's most sought-after directors. Jewel, J-E-W-E-L. Younger kids will tell you she's a popular pop singer. Queen Latifah, singer and actress. What do the two lists have in common? And what do they tell us? Anybody want to venture a guess? Okay, where's my door people have to do a better job of who they allow in? That's a good guess, though. Actually, here's what they have in common. Every person on both lists was sexually and physically abused as a child. Everyone. Every person on both lists. So what's the point? What does this have to do with Judas? Here's the point. They all experienced the same upbringing. They all had the same childhood. Some of them chose evil. Some of them chose to do something with their lives and make something of their lives. We all have to make decisions, guys, and we can't blame other people. See, you can't blame your upbringing, can't blame your parents, can't blame your school, can't blame your teachers, can't blame your health, can't blame your circumstances. See, it's what you do with what you're given. Some people chose evil, and some people chose to do something with their lives, and they all had the same upbringing. Same with Judas. He was treated just the same as the other 11 disciples. what he was thinking in his head, if he was thinking, I don't belong, I don't fit in with this group, nobody likes me, it was all in his head. It didn't exist in reality. We do that a lot. Nobody made Judas that way. In fact, the truth is, Judas was, to all outward appearances, the most trusted and respected of the disciples. He's the one that was trusted to carry around their money. He was in charge of dealing out the finances for the group. So there goes that excuse for not following Jesus. Judas, and Judas alone, was responsible for the choice he made. Not his upbringing, not his circumstances. For 3 years, he'd sat at the feet of Jesus. He'd heard the same stories as the other 11. He witnessed the same miracles as the other 11. He had a privileged position among the 12. Still, maybe he just felt inferior and said, I'll show you. Listen, here's an important lesson, guys. You have to believe that you are who Jesus says you are. You cannot let your self-worth and your self-esteem and who you are as a person be determined by circumstances, by other people, okay? You can't let your feelings convince you. You have to believe that you are who Jesus says you are. And Jesus says you're the most valuable things in the world. Every individual in this room, everyone. Don't allow other people and circumstances to convince you otherwise, guys, ever. Because they will. They'll try. Judas Iscariot. Iscariot means man from Kerioth. It was a region known for its zealousness. They were hungry to overthrow the Roman Empire. And so this is where Judas was from. And so another reason Judas may have betrayed Jesus is because he wanted Jesus to be the one to overthrow Rome. And when he realized that Jesus wasn't going to do that, he started to turn on Jesus and started to think, you're not the man I thought you were. So maybe that's why Judas turned Jesus in. Maybe he was mad at Jesus because Jesus scolded him. He went out to betray Jesus right after he was scolded. John 12:3-6. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. Now, Scripture points out that Judas couldn't care less about the poor people. He just wanted the money for himself. But right after this takes place, next verse, John 12:7, leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. A stinging rebuke to Judas in front of all the other people. Matthew tells us that immediately after this, Jesus rebukes Judas. Immediately after that, Judas goes to betray Jesus. Matthew 26:14-15. Then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him over to you? So they counted out for him 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver was no accident. That was the price of a slave in the Old Testament. Okay? So here we have perfume poured on Jesus' feet. Judas rebukes Mary. Jesus rebukes Judas. Judas goes out to betray Jesus. Okay, you following the progression? And then we lose another excuse for our actions. Matthew 26:16. From then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over. How do we lose another excuse? See, Judas goes out here to betray Jesus before Satan enters into him. We can never say, Satan made me do it. I was tempted beyond what I could possibly bear. No human could put up with this pressure. See, Judas had a choice to make. He decided to betray Jesus before Satan impacted his thoughts. It was something he decided to do on his own. The old excuse, the devil made me do it, is never true. Listen, Satan can tempt you. He can tempt you mightily. But he can never force your hand. He can never make you do anything. You still have the option A or the option B. It's still your choice. Satan can say option A, option A, option A, option A, option A, but he can't make you choose it. We still have to choose it. Now here's the thing. If this is the reason Judas got mad at Jesus and Jesus went away to betray him and everything, listen, it doesn't pay to get mad at God. It doesn't accomplish anything. Okay, it's easy to do. Hey, I've been there. Okay, I've gotten mad at God. But he's the only one that can bring healing. And he's the only one that can bring peace. And you can be mad at him from now till the day you die, and it's not going to change your circumstance, and it's not going to change who God is. The only thing it's going to change is your eternal destiny. Being mad at God serves no purpose, guys. So why did Judas betray Jesus? The truth is, we can only guess. But there is a lesson from Judas's story. It doesn't make any difference how many sermons you listen to in church. It doesn't make any difference how many times you've read the Bible from front to back. It doesn't make any difference how close you are to other Christians. None of that stuff saves you. None of it. Judas had all those advantages, all of them, and way more than you and me. He walked with Jesus. He knew Jesus. Hearing the stories and knowing of the miracles doesn't save you. By all outward appearances, Judas belonged to Christ. He traveled with him. He was sent out to preach the gospel with one of the other disciples when Jesus sent them out two by two. He was trusted by Jesus. He was trusted by the other disciples. He was treated the same as everybody else. Judas probably believed that he was saved simply by being close to Jesus. But being close to Jesus and knowing about Jesus will never get any of us into heaven. Never. Jesus, in John 3:3, Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Choice A, stay lost in your sins. Choice B, get right with Jesus. Jesus again in Luke 13:3, "And you will perish too," talking to his disciples, "unless you repent of your sins and turn to God." Not one verse in the Bible who says you will die in your sins unless you were baptized. Not one verse in the Bible says you're never going to get to heaven unless you grew up surrounded by other Christians. Doesn't say those things. Proverbs 14:12, "There's a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death." That's what Judas found out. We're almost done. You may think you have the key to the kingdom, but you don't. "I do," says Jesus. You come by me, Christ, or you don't come at all. I know life gets complicated. I know that, guys. You get up and one of two things greets you, and this seems to be a daily struggle. Either dread lingering from the day before, or a bright, cheerful day full of hope and promise that soon turns to one problem after another. That's just how life is. It's constant. Life beats you up. Circumstances eat away at you. I get it. And friends betray you. And we think we're all alone when things like these happen. You think Jesus can't relate to any of that? Don't give up. Don't give up in the daily battle. One great general, and I forget who it was, Tim may know, Mike may know. One great general said that being brave isn't going out onto the battlefield and facing enemy soldiers. The greatest braveness in the world is getting up in the morning and putting your foot on the floor and saying, "Just one more day." That's the greatest courage in the world. Don't give in. don't betray Jesus like Judas did. Satan chose Judas because Satan knew that Judas was just going through the motions. He didn't really belong. He didn't care that Jesus was the Messiah. He just wanted to use Jesus to overthrow the Romans. And that's why Satan chose Judas. Don't let Satan choose you. From Petra. I wonder how it makes you feel when no one seeks your face. I wonder how it makes you feel when they give up in the race. I wonder what it's like for you when they willingly disobey. I wonder what it's like for you when they willingly walk away. It must be like another thorn stuck in your brow. It must be like another close friend's broken vow. It must be like another thorn right through your wrist. It must be just like Judas' kiss. Jesus says you matter. And Jesus says you count. And Jesus says you're important. And Jesus says your life has meaning. Everything that happens in your life and mine has one purpose: to bring us closer to God, to make us more Christ-like, and to show us the greatness of our Lord. We will. We'll see His greatness if we truly know Jesus. See, Judas never really knew Jesus. He just looked like he did by all outward appearances. Satan knew that. Don't betray Jesus with a kiss. I love you guys.
Please rise.